In Moscow, Vladimir Putin signed documents to formally annex four provinces in Ukraine today. Now, Western leaders have condemned the action as illegal. And the reality is Russian troops do not have full control of these areas. In some places, they are retreating from a Ukrainian counteroffensive. We're joined now by CNN's Nick Patton-Walsh. He is in the city of Kryvyi Rih in eastern Ukraine. Nick, thank you for being here.
Hey, how are you doing? All right.
The city where you are, I'm sure I'm saying this wrong, Kryvyi Rih is President Zelensky's home city. What are you seeing today?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably the first person I've met who said it right, actually. We've seen today, taking the drive along the river that runs to the south of Kryvyi Rih, the Dnieper, along which Ukrainian forces have made an extraordinary lightning advance in just the last 3 days. And we got to see ourselves on the road there, Russian troops, their bodies left by the side of the road, damaged Russian and Ukrainian armor, and get a feeling really of the ferocity of the speed at which Ukraine is moving. It was revealed yesterday by the Russian Ministry of Defense just how much territory Moscow now accepts it's lost here. And that's about a quarter to a third of what that which they hold on the west side of the Dnieper River. We saw today some villages which, for the first time, in just the last 48 hours, have got their cell phone service back, are beginning to see Ukrainian aid flooding in. But it's really fascinating to see just how much ground they've taken in an area where just in April we were seeing extraordinary stalemates.
Have you been able to speak to people there? What did they tell you about about the Russian occupation?
Yeah, I mean, the delight, frankly, of seeing Ukrainian soldiers in the villages. One man we spoke to said he'd been beaten by the Russians because they were suspicious of him for buying phone credit cards, extra prepaid vouchers for people's phones. They thought he may have been an informant. Another woman said how she just was delighted to have seen them go, but she actually thought when the Russians left her village, they may be moving to its outskirts and didn't remotely realize they were just literally disappearing overnight. So startling change, frankly, as their positions have just essentially experienced a rout.
You were also recently in the city of Liman in the east. You were one of the first reporters there. And that is one of the most significant gains, I gather, by the Ukrainian counteroffensive. What did you see there?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually hard to say what's the most strategically significant. I think probably what's happening in Kherson at the moment is probably in the longer term way more damaging for Russia. But Liman was so important for them in the east because of how they'd spoken up, how badly they needed to hang on to it. And it's a railway town, and Russia fights wars using railways, which in 2022 does sound kind of odd, right? Given, you know, how many militaries rely on air power. Yeah. Russia use rail stock. And so they needed Liman to continue their supply lines. And it also become a central part of their sort of defensive lines. They wanted to do all they could to hold onto it, but they found themselves encircled by the Ukrainian military. And so it seems that around about Friday, Saturday, quite possibly at exactly the same time that Vladimir Putin was standing in the Kremlin and on Red Square going through the sort of weird theatre of saying how they were going to annex these parts of Ukraine. There was also giving the order, or his military were giving the order for his troops to hightail it out of Liman. It seems quite a few got out, although we were told by Ukrainian officials they insisted some had been hit on their bids to try and flee further east.
So, Nick, can you kind of zoom back and help us understand the map here of what's happening and the perhaps the most important advances so far by the Ukrainian counteroffensive and what you're focusing on next?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the most cool about all of this from the sort of 30,000 foot view is that this is not what was supposed to be happening for Russia's army in an invasion of what they thought was a weaker neighbor. And, you know, this is not the army which people thought was the third strongest in the world. They are performing appallingly. And we're now witnessing their third rout inside of Ukraine. The first was around Kharkiv, the second biggest city in Ukraine. That was about a month ago. And it was staggering because it was a matter of days. They just picked up and left because Ukraine had quite savvily gone for a city called Izyum, which was a vital part of supplying that area. Once Izyum had fallen, the Russians knew there was little they could really do. Then they moved on, the Ukrainians, going south again towards Liman, put pressure on Liman. It took them weeks. It wasn't easy. A lot of destruction we saw around that particular town. But eventually, they forced the Russians out of there, and now they're forcing them further back east. And you think that would be enough for one normal army to be able to pull off. But for some reason as well, they appear to have also gone for the South. And it appears to be an astute recognition of when Russia's positions are weak on the battlefield. And rather than perhaps pausing, they seem to have hit the South right now and assessed correctly that it was poorly defended, that the troops there were not very well supplied, that their morale was flaking. I mean, there must have been for months since the original indications came from the Ukrainians that their target was the South for their counteroffensive. Mm-hmm. There must have been concerns amongst their military that they had to have an escape plan, because that so much of that area is cut off from the rest of Russia's occupying force by the Dnieper River that runs through it. And the bridges across that river have been hit repeatedly. So this has been something that's been coming for so long. But for some reason, Russia decided to dig in and hold, but not adequately reinforced that it could actually keep the Ukrainian military at bay.
We learned this week that a top Russian commander was reportedly fired, and we've also heard about protests and men fleeing Russia to avoid being drafted. I mean, in this fogginess of war, what do we know about how dire a moment this is for the Russian military?
I think this is probably as bad as it was when they had to pull out of Afghanistan. Or possibly during the middle of the 90s, where they experienced defeat in Chechnya. I mean, it is startling. I think it's particularly difficult for the Putin government because of the stead they put in their military and how much Putin relied on the sort of nastiness of his bite when he was making a lot of very bombastic statements over the past 10 to 20 years. It turns out that that military that they vaunted so much doesn't have the basics. Yeah. Sometimes can't get fuel, food. Can't get food to its troops. We've seen people on the side of the road, dead Russian soldiers who are literally in utterly appalling equipment. Wow. And for an army in 2022, you just don't know how that could happen.
CNN's Nick Patton-Walsh in Eastern Ukraine. Thanks so much.
Thanks.